From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O King, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Oh, man. Sometimes we love the joy and the celebration, the exuberance of the miracle of coming through the fire. But what I'll never forget is those three kids said, my God is able to deliver us, but even if he does not, we're okay.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us how God wants us to prepare an atmosphere, a culture here on earth that will enable him to do the miraculous. It's a message entitled, Thy Kingdom Come, and it'll be coming up in just a moment. But speaking of the miraculous, we're going to begin our program today with a testimony that will show you that God is still very much at work in the lives of men and women today.
So I was just heading from my house off to Kaiser High School. And before I got three blocks away from the house, I ended up in this wreck. I was coming down the road here on my motorcycle, and there was a car parked right in front of us here. And as I was coming, the car, I think he saw me and went to hit his brake, but his foot slipped off the brake and hit the gas, and he started his U-turn. I crashed into the driver's side door, and I ended up laid out on the other side of the street.
He had a broken jaw, broken backbone, bleeding from his brain.
I was barely breathing. The helmet had gotten flipped back and the strap was still on, choking, you know, my jaw was all broken. Within 2 minutes, three qualified medical guys showed up on the scene. You know, just looking at how amazing that was, I, being an engineer, I had to run some numbers to see what the probabilities, how it stacked up. And the rough calculation that I did, it came out to be about equivalent to flipping 18 heads in a row. I went back and measured for a while, and so only 7 people go by there in a minute. And in those 2 minutes that I needed them, there were 3 qualified people who jumped in and took over and saved my life. This accident that I had, this testimony that he's given me, this amazing story of my rescuers is my gift. I think that's one of the things that he gave me through this. There was some suffering involved, but the Lord was with me. I could feel his presence with me through the whole time.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Thy Kingdom Come.
I have seen some moms who, with the intention to protect their children, have all their lives shouldered the offenses of their kids. And a teacher will say something to a child, and the teacher's probably right, and the kid's probably wrong, but it's my kid, so don't touch my kid. A teacher's stupid. Yeah, we'll pull you out. We're going to put you in a better school. Come on. This is my 8th school, Mom. Yeah, we're going to 9th school now. And what happens is they shoulder the offense, thinking that that's what a mom should do. But in actuality, they're shouldering offenses. When something happens against their spouse, their husband, they shoulder the offense against the company or this coworker or whatever. And you know what happens? That mom, which started off to be a gracious, beautiful young lady, in her older age becomes a bitty old baddie. Because they've shouldered so many offenses, and it's turned them bitter in their older years. And now they're opinionated, they're harsh, and they're only a small fraction of what they used to be. They've gone the other way. Why? Because they shouldered offenses and they don't understand the grace of God. Here's the best way. When your kid gets reprimand or something from the teacher, oh yeah, if it's unjust, you'll see it and you can deal with it. But for most of the time, I'm talking about 95, 98% of the time, here's the best way to help your kid. Teach your kid how to receive the grace of God. And they will grow up to be men and women of God because a mom didn't shoulder their offense. They taught them how to receive the grace of God. See the difference? Huge. It saves your future and it builds theirs. So, set up an atmosphere for the miraculous will help us so that we become people postured for the miracles of God to take place. All right, you say, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Then what do I do next? Then would you write down number two? Now start praying because it sets miracles in motion. Start praying and it sets miracles in motion. The story is told out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12. Herod incarcerates James and kills him, the brother of John. And it so pleased the people, he thought, if I can incarcerate James and kill him, and it makes the people happy, I'm going to take the other renegade, Peter, the big renegade, and I'm going to incarcerate him and kill him in the morning. Yeah, then the people will really like me and vote me in for another term. Yeah, that's what I'll do. So he imprisons Peter, intending to kill him the next day. Now that night, some hours later, I don't know how many hours, an angel comes into the cell and he is handcuffed between two guards. And the angel causes those handcuffs to fall off and a miracle takes place. The doors open and he is released. You think, wow, did that just happen like that? Mm-mm. Let me rewind the tape and tell you what was happening when he was first in prison. As soon as he was in prison, let's read what the scripture says. Go. So Peter was kept in the prison. But prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Yeah, as soon as he was in prison, what did the church start to do? Pray. You know what happened? As soon as they started to pray, miracles were set in motion. Oh, it resulted that evening when things had to get put in place and it would fulfill that evening. But when did it get started in motion? When did it get inaugurated? When they started to pray. It was in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel was praying, God, there's stuff going bad. Lord, I need your help. Next day, Lord, I need your help. Next week, Lord, I need your help. 21 days, 3 weeks goes by. Finally, an angel comes and says, Daniel, it seems like 3 weeks gone by, which it has, and seems like a long time. But let me tell you, here it is, Daniel 10. From the first day you began to pray, God heard your voice and set the miracles in motion. I was being withstood by the prince of Persia. There was spiritual warfare taking place. And I had to put some things in place and set other things in order. But as soon as you prayed, the miraculous was set in motion. And now it'll be fulfilled later on. But you think it's a long time or just nothing was happening? No, no, tons was happening. And you see, one of the things is if we want the miraculous to happen tomorrow, we need to start praying today. And if we're not praying today, doesn't matter. Tomorrow ain't going to happen. This is one of our pastoral interns came to me and said, Wayne, you know what I really want? I said, what? When I pray for people, they get healed. I said, oh, that's good. And why do you want them healed? What do you mean? Why do you want them healed? He said, well, so they'll really come to God. I said, oh. So that's what you want? Yeah. I said, I said, when was the last time you went to the hospital? He said, I'm not sick. I said, no, when was the last time you went to the hospital to pray for those that were sick? So I don't know, a long time. I said, well, when was the last time you prayed for a sick person? Do you have compassion for sick people? He said, no, not every day. So I said, no. Now, you're saying you want to pray and people get healed, but you're not praying for anybody. It's been years since you went to the hospital. You have no compassion for those that are sick and afflicted. Why should God answer your prayer of healing people when you pray when you don't even intend to pray? You ain't praying. If you want that to happen, start praying. And it sets the miraculous in motion. And as we're praying, down the line, as miracles are being set in motion, all of a sudden, pop, 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 like popcorn. Pop, 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 pop. And then you say, this is wonderful revival time. No, that's not this time. It started way back here when the church began to fervently pray. I want to encourage you to begin to pray. Regardless of what you see or the results, start praying. And if you need to come for prayer, come. Let's read what it says here in James chapter 5. Go. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Then the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if they've committed any sins, they shall be... Let me tell you the story of Becky. She's a lady in our church. She had a big tumor on her leg. They took a biopsy and found it to be horribly malignant. And they said, you know, radiation, it'll resist radiation. It's too big. So we're going to have to not only take it out, but after we do, the only thing we can do is amputate your leg. She came to the church. She was anointed with oil, prayed for. And a few days later, she went in. They took out that tumor, 74 grams. It was a big old tumor. And when they did another biopsy, for somehow, within the time she was prayed for and the time they went in to amputate her leg, the tumor went from horribly malignant to completely benign. And she's fine. Her leg is fine. She's walking around today. How many of you are glad that we serve a miracle-working God? And those miracles take place all the time. Now, watch this. Here's what this whole message is about. And it's a very important part of it. Listen, you have the setting for the miraculous. The miracles take place. And you start praying. But watch. It's the time between here and here that bothers me. When we pray and nothing's happening. Wouldn't it be nice if we can compress that right out? And you pray and it happens, pray and it happens, pray and it happens. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. That would be nice. But I want you to write number three. Our main purpose on this earth, our primary role, is to serve God's purposes, not mine. Because mine is pray and happen, pray, miracle, pray, miracle, pray, miracle. That's what I want. When I pray, people get healed. Oh, that'd be great. But a lot of times, pray, miracle, time. What do we do with this? Is it a throwaway season? Is it a time of affliction that is just kind of something that's like a thorn in our flesh that's unnecessary? We got to get rid of that, bless God. But I want you to know something. Sometimes between prayer and the miraculous will be your greatest testimony. Think about it. Job's greatest legacy was not when he was at the top of the mountain. He exampled the greatest grace of God, not when he just prayed. The whole book of Job is right here in the middle. Job's greatest ministry to us thousands of years later is in between the prayer and the miracle. Take a look at the weeping prophet Jeremiah. His greatest legacy that he leaves to us is his stalwart faith in the middle. Joseph, his greatest legacy wasn't that he was Pharaoh. It's that he stayed faithful to God in prison and in Potiphar's house when he was falsely accused. And he prayed and the promise was yet to be fulfilled. That's his greatest legacy. That's the character and story of Joseph. And in modern days, think about it. Johnny Erickson Tata, her greatest testimony and her greatest legacy will be between the prayer and the miracle. So sometimes we want to throw that away. Sometimes we think that's kind of like a no man's land. It's something we can do without. So we can just kind of fudge our way through. Think about it. The greatest legacy that Charlie Wiedemeyer will leave to us will be in weakness, he was made strong. And God's grace was exampled and exemplified. You see, we have to remember that we're about God's purposes. And not everyone was healed and delivered, even when Jesus walked the earth. Because if you think about it, Jesus himself was not delivered from the hands of the enemy. Even when he could in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because he could have called a legion of angels. But instead, said no. No. And the testimony of Jesus is the redemption by his blood. Of course, we celebrate Easter and the resurrection of that. But do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we want to throw that away and think, ah, we'll just fudge through that. No, listen, there's going to be times of suffering and affliction, and that may be what it's all about. That may be your greatest legacy. Don't think that's a throwaway, because we're here to serve the purposes of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what's their greatest legacy? Not that they went through the furnace of blazing fire. For me, it was rewind the tape just a little bit to chapter 3 and verse 17 when they were talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, if you don't bow down to this idol, I'm going to throw you in the fire. Now watch their stalwart faith between prayer and the miracle, which they came through the fire. But watch this. Let's read it together. Go. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Oh, man. I think, isn't that great? Sometimes we love the joy and the celebration, the exuberance of the miracle of coming through the fire. And we pray. But what I'll never forget is those three kids that said, my God is able to deliver us, but even if he does not, we're okay. Golly. That's a testimony of faith. I want to tell you a story about one of the people in our church. Her name is Lee. Lee was born with some physical disabilities and some limitations. And then almost as if to add insult to injury, she was at the doctor's when feeling good. The doctor gave her a report of cancer and the radiation that is to follow and all the ensuing ramifications and results of radiation. But I want you to hear. She's a poet, and she writes some poems. She writes a little poem about the promises of God, and she's praying, and we are, believing for the miracle, we are, but her greatest testimony may be right in between. Let's take a look at this video. I think you'll understand what I mean.
I don't think I'll ever forget that day. I found it in November in the doctor's office. As I sat across him, it was like, okay, whatever you say, you know, then we'll deal with it afterwards. And when he first said, it's cancerous, it was like a weight fell upon me. My next thought was, other than, oh God, why me? And in fact, not even why me, but you know, I can't believe it's happening. The next thing is, okay, God, here we go again. Let's do it. God doesn't give us more than we can handle. And this is just another thing that he's going to take me through. I have to stand on his promises that he has for me. I wrote this poem, and it's entitled, I'm Holding On to God's Promises. I'm holding on to God's promises for me and my life of love, laughter, and friendships, not to just simply exist or get through another day, but to fully live life with zest. I'm holding on to God's promises to enjoy the life I've been given in spite of the daily challenges, physical battles, or financial setbacks. I'm holding on to God's promises that he is alive, that I serve a living God who will never leave me nor forsake me. Instead, to empower and encourage me. I'm holding on to God's promises that I do have a purpose here. Though I may not know to the full extent, I know that he will use me in as much as I allow him to. I'm holding on to God's promises.
What a beautiful testimony of a lady of faith. Let's stand together. Setting the atmosphere for the miraculous by not retaining things that don't need to be retained. Keep your heart clear because it's duplicated in heaven. And if we want the miraculous to flow, remember, we duplicate what'll happen in heaven. Keep it clear. And then pray. Pray for healing. Pray for people. And we do that around here. Wednesday night, we'll be praying for healing in our midweek service with anointing of oil. If you need prayer, then you come. We have Friday nights prayer and healing time at the ministry center. Find out about that. Be there. But in between the prayer and the miraculous may be your greatest testimony. Stay as a man of faith, a woman of faith. Hang on to Him, for His grace is sufficient. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer together. For within that is that phrase to always remind us that we are ambassadors of Christ, citizens of heaven, sojourners here. We want to represent Him well. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I've got some stuff that I've been retaining. And I wonder why the channel, the vessel, the venue, the avenue through which God's blessings come to my life seem to shrink more and more. And I find myself even more at a distance. Lord, would you give me the grace and strength to release what I need to release so that I keep my heart clear for the miraculous? Lord, would you give me your help on that? If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yeah, Lord, that's me. I just need to let certain things go because I love your miraculous too much and I need it desperately. Yeah. You can put your hands down. If you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I've never received Christ before. And I've got stuff that I'm holding onto my own sin that I need to release. And I know that Jesus died on the cross that I might be able to have forgiveness. And only He can satisfy the spiritual debt that I incurred. I cannot. I want to receive Him as Lord and Savior. I don't understand everything there is to understand about the Lord, but I know now is the time to give my heart to Him. And I want to. If that's you, would you raise a hand? In doing so, you're saying, yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord. Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, just raise it up for a second. Okay, good, good. We're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord to help us to be ambassadors for Christ. And let's pray this out loud. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your grace that sustains me, holds back the enemy, and helps me to be healed. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for being my God. Now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our lives. We give you praise and glory as citizens and sojourners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank Him, would you, for His goodness and His grace on our lives.
Our Father, which art in heaven,
power and the glory forever. have a wonderful day. Give someone a hug on your way out, would you?
You have just heard the conclusion of the message entitled Thy Kingdom Come by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. This is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.